I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
One on ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from there.
Yo! And welcome back to The Fix. Yeah! I am your host, Joseph Ward, and this is the realest and the blackest sports talk show you have ever heard in your entire life. It goes down. The Fix Sports Podcast right here on the Freedom Train Network. Going down. The Freedom Train, The Fix is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings African history right to your fingertips through their African history book series, blog series, YouTube channel, nonprofit organization, African history curriculum app, as well as they will come to your institution, your school, your home, your organization, and give classes, seminars, lectures, educational sessions, activities, whatever it is to help you learn more about African history. They have many different ways of teaching African history. So make sure you visit www.ontheshoulders1.com to learn more about On the Shoulders of Giants, as well as www.ontheshoulders.org. And follow On the Shoulders of Giants on Twitter and Instagram at OnTheShoulders1. While you're online and while you're doing all that stuff, make sure you follow me, Joseph Ward, on Twitter. I said that Twitter. Now follow me on Twitter at Joe84. Follow the Freedom Train on Twitter at Freedom Train Net. Follow the Freedom Train on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. Log on to the Freedom Train's website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Make sure you like the Freedom Train's Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to the Freedom Train on YouTube. Subscribe to our Freedom Train YouTube channel. Subscribe to The Fix and the Freedom Train podcast series on iTunes and Google Play. That way, either one of those means you can stay in contact with us and see what's going down on the go down. Hey, before I get into sports, I just want to take a little hip-hop moment. Friday was a holiday, especially if you're from the South, especially if you like good music, and especially if you like them country rap tunes, because your homeboy Big Crit just dropped this new album, Forever Is a Mighty Long Time. It's a double disc, and that bitch straight ride. I swear, I got it. I've been bumping into my trunk. You know, he got that My Sub Part 4, that Subsidian. Straight banging, knocking pictures off the walls, knocking the stars out the skies. I turn my jump all the way up, let my windows down, let it beat, let it bump. One time for Big Crit for putting out a great album, great double disc album. Now, it ain't often you can get a double disc and both sides be riding, but both sides is riding, so one time for Big Crit. Alright, so that's enough about that, because you know we got a lot to get into. So today, my HBCU spotlight, I am shining it on little known Langston University. Now, the reason why I'm doing this is because Langston University is still undefeated and looking to win more games. They're now 8-0 on the season. within that conference. Well, just 8-0 on the season, period. So the number 8 Lexington Lions, and they're in the Central States Football League. So the number 8 Lexington Lions in the Central State Football League, they posted a victory over Panhandle State yesterday, 27-14, right? And like I said, it helped Lexington stay undefeated. So they scored the first touchdown at the 5:03 mark in the first quarter with a 13-yard touchdown pass from quarterback Cedric Jackson, and they put the Lexington Lions up 7-0 over Panhandle State. I have no idea where Panhandle State is. Is that in Florida? I've never heard of either one of these schools. Is that bad? Okay, keep going. Lexington continued to push forward and added a 2-yard touchdown run and 27-yard TD reception by Tim Winfield in the second quarter, and they went up 21-0. So it was 21-0 at half. I still don't know who these guys are. Panhandle State. Where is that? So, Lexington started the second half with a touchdown. They missed the extra point, so they went up 27-0. And then, you know, Panhandle State added 2 more touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And, you know, the final score was 27-14. Lexington continued their winning ways in the Central States Football League. Never heard of these teams or that league. So one time for Lexington for continuing their winning ways, going 8-0 on that season, and I wish them well moving forward. Lexington's next game will be against the Southwestern Assemblies of God next Saturday at 2 p.m. And both are undefeated within their conference, within the Central States Football League. Both Lexington and Southwestern Assemblies of God. So when they play next week, it should be a good matchup between two teams that are undefeated within the Central States Football League. But as always, you know, we like to give a shout out and pay homage to the black college football, because, you know, that's where it all started. And the white schools won't have nothing without the black players. So shout out to Lexington University for continuing their winning ways. All right. So let's keep this ball rolling. So I got some kind of, it's funny to me, but then I'm going to give you my whole perspective on this, right? All right, so early in the month, and I missed the story, but I got it now. You know, you probably expected me to talk about it, but I'm talking about it now. So, Kenyon Martin and Jeremy Lin. So, Kenyon Martin is a former NBA player. He was a great NBA player, great college player. I ain't going to say he wasn't the greatest, but Kenyon Martin was good. Then you got Jeremy Lin, who's the Asian point guard who kind of set the league on fire. I think he was with the Knicks and all these other teams that he was with. And set the league on fire for about 7 games a couple of years ago. And, you know, he's still in the NBA. He played for the Brooklyn Nets. Now, Kenyon Martin doesn't play anymore. But Jeremy Lin do play for the Nets. So, Jeremy Lin, like a lot of Asians, are fascinated with black culture. Very, very, very fascinated with black culture. But I doubt the Asians really like black people. Black culture? Yes. Black people? I doubt. So, there's a picture of Jeremy Lin with locks in his head. An Asian with locks in his head. Now, the Asians have been known for taking black culture. That's why you see all them breakdancing and doing all that stuff. They're not trying to freestyle and rap and all the stuff that black people in America invent. So, Jeremy Lin now has locks in his head. And so, I think this is on Instagram. Kenyon Martin posted a picture of Jeremy Lin. Then he says, "I have so many questions." Then this next post said, "I'm confused, puzzled, and shocked, disappointed in his teammates and the Nets as an organization for allowing this foolishness," as he's talking about the locks that are in Jeremy Lin's head. Because He's confused as to how the black players on his team basically allowed him to show up with locks in his head and don't nobody say nothing. Of course, we're in a new era. So I guess Jeremy Lin finds out and he says, "Hey man, it's all good. You don't have to like my hair and definitely entitled to your opinion. Actually, I am gratefully legit you sharing it." Yeah, he's speaking in some of this social media language. I don't know what the hell he's saying. But he's basically saying he glad he shared his opinion. Okay. "At the end of the day, I appreciate that I have dreads and you have Chinese tattoos because I think it's a sign of respect." So basically, that's like the bloop. You know, that little kidney shot he threw back at Kenya Martin, because there's also a picture up here when I'm looking at Kenya Martin with a whole bunch of Chinese tattoos on his arm that probably say "asshole liquor fuck shit." Probably what they say. They probably told him it says "sunshine, God, sunflowers, and prosperous," but it say "booty hole liquor and toenail eater." That's what his tattoos say. So, and he says, Jeremy Lin goes on to say, "I think as minorities, the more we appreciate each other's cultures, the more we influence mainstream society. Thanks for everything you did for the Nets and the Hoops. Had your post up on my wall growing up." Now that's funny. I ain't gonna lie. To me, that's funny. Jeremy Lin threw a shot back at him. Kenya Martin was right in what he was saying, but wrong in his approach. Now, I do like Jeremy Lin, you are appropriate. You are. You are. You do want to be down. But see, that's my problem. See, to me, that's our fault as black people, though. That's our fault because we too damn friendly with everybody. We keep telling y'all, it's one thing to be humane. We could be humane with everybody, but we don't have to invite everybody in to be a part of what we're talking about. Because remember, these people don't like us as people. They like our culture, right? So, to give a damn about a person, literally, versus to give a damn about a person's culture is two different things. Asians, in mass, have never showed that they gave a damn about us. You see how they treat us in our own neighborhoods. You see how they treat us in their neighborhoods. So let's not act like the relationship between black people in America and Asians in America has been favorable. But nevertheless, we are too open with our culture. We want to share it with everybody. We don't owe any other minority groups anything. In fact, what we should be doing as a group, black people, I know a lot of y'all are not going to agree with what I'm about to say, is we should be more inclusive. Well, we should be more exclusive. And we should also start looking differently at a lot of these immigration things that we like to support. Because we are the ones, like black people are already on the bottom of the barrel. And we just keep allowing other people in to just take our place. Like we're graciously allowing other people in to take our culture and our place while they shit on us. And we have to learn the difference between someone who likes our culture and like us as a people. Like an individual person's actions does not determine the tone of the group as a whole. And we know this. We know this. Because in situations where we see that the group moniker or the group is blanketed, when that is in a negative context, we react. But when it's not in a not so, or we've been in a context that we've been taught to not take it as negative, we kind of let it go. Now, Kenya Martin and Jeremy Lin got your ass. I ain't gonna lie, he got you. Hey, the war of words, Jeremy Lin won, and I ain't gonna like it anymore. He got you. You got. Like, you trying to call him out for having locks in his head while you got the Chinese tattoos on your arm that say you eat dog doo-doo and lick cat booty, right? And, I mean, I never understood the Chinese tattoo phase anyway by black people. I never understood that. If you have one and you listen to this, hey, man, look, I ain't trying to be mean. I'm just saying I never understood the Chinese tattoos by black people. Like, me liking, it's been proven. It's already been proven because race relations haven't changed. Me liking your culture is not going to change race relations. What changes race relations is people actually doing different. People changing the way they exist with other people. Like, stop treating me like I'm less than. But the reason why this is these things, these race relations are the way they are because of the whole concept and idea of race in the first place. It's competition. One race against the next. We're trying to win. You guys are trying to win. Who's going to win first? The idea of race itself is racism. So every race has to play the team game. But black people are the only ones in the world who don't understand the concept of race. So therefore, we don't play the team game, the race game, the way we're supposed to. And I know I'm going off on something, but this is important. We have to learn how to play together as a race and stop selling each other out. We got to learn how to do that. So Kenyon Martin, after Jeremy Lin got his ass, he basically backtracked and was like he wasn't really trying to be malicious with his comments. He was just poking fun at Jeremy Lin, saying he don't have any problems with Jeremy Lin. They cool or whatever, whatever, whatever. Kenyon Martin, stop fretting. You tried to shine on Jeremy Lin, and you got. Jeremy got you. Now, that doesn't excuse Jeremy for having them locks in his head. Come on, Jeremy. Come on. You can wear your... It's really not that serious to me. It's really not that serious. But my biggest thing to you, my biggest message to you, Jeremy, is let's not act like you wearing dreads or locks in your head is going to improve race relations. Let's stop that right there. That will never... Like, how long y'all Asians been breakdancing? And how have race relations improved? Yeah, I've been breakdancing for a little minute. Race relations haven't improved. How long have we been watching Kung Fu movies? Race relations are not changing just because you indulge in people's culture and art. Race relations change when you actively work to change the relationships that you have with other races. When the actual people actually decide to change, that's when race relations change. They don't change just because you decide to wear some locks or Kenyon Martin decide to get some Chinese tattoos or I eat with Chinese, not Chinese sticks, but I eat with chopsticks or something like that. That don't change race relations. Let's get out the boo-boo. Get out the bullshit and stop acting like that changed race relations because it doesn't. So I just wanted to drop that little nugget on y'all about Jeremy Lin and Kenyon Martin. Because I think that it is a hilarious topic. And I think that Kenyon Martin, just stop talking. Just stop talking until you evaluate everything that's going on. Because you made yourself look bad on that one, Kenyon. I got to call you out on that one. You made yourself look bad. Because you clearly didn't look at your arm with all those tattoos. You clearly didn't. Clearly didn't look at your arm with all those tattoos and really didn't understand that before you call somebody else out for appropriating your culture, you got to check yourself for appropriating his culture. And you don't even know what the hell them Chinese signs on your arm mean. And that's all I got to say about that. Now my next still in the basketball thing. Moving on, I want to talk about Lonzo Ball. I want to talk about Lonzo Ball because it's still early in the season. It's still very, 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 very early in this basketball season. But I'm not liking what I'm seeing from Lonzo Ball thus far in this season. If you take away the Phoenix Suns' victory and the triple-double, the 29 points, I think he had 10 rebounds, 11 assists, 12 assists, something like that, against the Phoenix Suns. If you take that away, Lonzo Ball has been an okay player. He's not played like the second overall pick in the NBA draft. He hasn't. He hasn't played like that. He's not beasting. He's a great passer. He has great vision on the court. He's a great passer. He ain't no punk. I give it to you that. Lonzo ain't no punk. If you come at Lonzo, he's not going to back down. He may not bring a whole lot back to you, but Lonzo not going to back down. I can't say, you know me, I tell the truth. And from what I have observed, Lonzo don't look like no punk to me. But I do need Lonzo to be more aggressive on the offensive end. The Los Angeles Lakers, the Lakers clearly have no number one option right now in the league. The Lakers are searching for themselves. The Lakers are looking for their identity as a team. And the role that Lonzo Ball is expected to play as a second overall pick right now, as of right now at this junction in the season, he ain't playing like that. He's averaging 10.7 rebounds, 7 assists. Now, outside of he's shooting 55% from the field, 55 from free throw, 31% from the field, 28 from the 3-point. Playing 35 minutes. Outside of that Phoenix game, Lonzo basically averaging like 6 points a game. So that Phoenix game boosts his average up to that 10 points a game because he dropped 29. But really, he's averaging around 4 to 6 points a game. And he's not being aggressive enough on the offensive end, and he can be more aggressive on the defensive end. He's too passive right now. And his dad is not helping. You can't talk. And one of the issues is you can't talk about Lonzo without talking about LeVar. Now, LeVar, I personally don't have no problems with LeVar outside of, well, as a sports person, he talk crazy. But other than that, outside of sports, ain't no real issues with LeVar. But LeVar is putting a target on his son's back that his son may not be able to necessarily fulfill, if you know what I mean. Lonzo, his personality is not necessarily that superstar takeover, this is my team, this is my league, this is my game personality. As of right now, Lonzo's personality is, okay, well, I want to get everybody involved. And to me, I think that's kind of a good thing and a bad thing for him right now, because you can get everybody involved, but you need to be that spark on your team right now. He's not being that spark on his team. Lonzo is too passive. He can be more aggressive on the offensive end. The Lakers clearly have no number one scoring option on their team. And they have a couple players who can get their own shots, but who is the leader of that team? And it's kind of disappointing that the second overall pick is not your leader on your team. Now, once again, it's still early in the season, and you have to give him time to mature within this league and within this game. But for right now, it doesn't look good. I'm not going to say that it's not going to come out good. I'm not going to say it's going to be bad. I'm not going to say it's ever going to work. I'm not even going to say Lonzo Ball is a bust. I don't think it's a bust. I think he's a good player, but I just think he could do better. I think he could bring more to the game. But LeVar is out there. LeVar basically, whenever it comes that he's going to face a top point guard, LeVar going to run his mouth. LeVar Ball the father. He's going to run his mouth when it comes to the point to where Lonzo has to face a top point guard or a good team. Now, that can either help or hurt Lonzo. Is it motivating him? We really don't know if it's actually motivating Lonzo. But what we do know is that his father is putting a lot on him. And I hope that Lonzo is able to live up to the billing. I hope Lonzo is able to take a stand. I like to see people win. I don't like to see people, not be good. So I want Lonzo to win. But LeVar going to have to kind of curb a lot of that he doing, because I mean, LeVar is getting to a point the way he's talking too much to me. He has gotten to that point to where he's talking a little too much, And he's saying things that, well, he's made, the way he makes his gestures, okay, if the team loses, it's the team's fault that the team lost. If the team wins, it's my son's fault that the team wins. And no matter how you, and see, right now, LaVar Ball, you don't even want to get into no back and forth, LaVar, because either way, he's going to spin it to where his son comes out on top. And what LaVar has to understand, because, of course, he's not a professional, so he don't get it. Your son is in that spotlight, and your son has to live with the wins and live with the losses. He's the quarterback of that team. When they lose, it's his fault. When they win, it's his fault. So that has to be taken into account. Your son has to understand that more than you. And I hope Lonzo develops into a good player. But he has a lot of work to do and a lot of competition, especially in that Western Conference. And the Lakers are not making the playoffs this year. I do like Luke Walton as a coach. I like some of the pieces that the Lakers have. I don't think that the Lakers are better than last year. Swaggy P is a good talent that they lost. Is it a significant loss? We'll see. Is it a definite talent loss? Yes, it's a definite talent loss. So, you know, that's my take on Lonzo Ball. I think Lonzo can do much better. The way he's approaching the game to me can be a whole lot better and a whole lot different. He needs to get a little more aggressive. Take over games, Lonzo. Take over games. It's okay. Like, you can take over the games. It's very okay for you to take over the games. But as of right now, I think the Lakers are, what, 2-5, 2-6 on the season? They're starting off typically like we expect the Lakers to go. Now, you got a lot of commentators who are riding this Lonzo Ball thing. Now, one thing I don't like is some of the things that y'all criticize LeBron for. Y'all giving Lonzo Ball a pass for. LeBron's too passive. LeBron spent too much time trying to get his players involved in the game. But when Lonzo Ball is doing it, he's a youngin', but still, we're not going to let you get away with something that we ain't let nobody else get away with. That's all I'm saying. I definitely wish you the best, Lonzo. I wish your team the best, wish your coach the best, but your daddy do need to shut up sometimes. But I don't think your pop's doing anything wrong. And I think people who got a problem with him need to get the hell on. That's it. That's all I got to say about Lonzo. Lonzo. I told Lonzo, if he ever. I got to tell you the story since I'm talking about Lonzo. Football coach. Hey, man, I had a crazy football coach. Let me tell you this. Two crazy stories about football, all right? Coach named Coach Sampson. Coach Sampson, man, I told y'all, if you ever do that again, you're going to run them laps. You're going to run them laps. So, Coach, and Lonzo just made me think about this story. So we had an administrator at our high school, Lonzo Johnson, right? And Alonzo Johnson was a boxer. And they said that he sparred with Muhammad Ali back in the day, but Lonzo was still big and quick with them hands. And Lonzo went on for whipping ass. So Coach Sampson said, you know, Lonzo used to date my sister. And I found out that Lonzo was hitting my sister. I went up to him and I let him know. I said, Lonzo, if you ever put your hands on my damn sister again, I'm blow your damn brains out. I'm gonna blow them out too. And he ain't never, ever, ever touched my sister again. Cause I was gonna blow his damn brains out. Just made me think about that. You might not find it funny, but it was funny as shit to us. Cause we in like 10th grade and our coaches be talking to us like they grown, like we grown ass men, right? So it just made me think about that. Lines up. If you ever don't come to this basket aggressive and score these points, Luke Walton's going to sit your ass on the bench again. Because in two games of this season, Lonzo Ball has been benched. And a lot of the starters have been benched by Luke Walton, trying to shake stuff up and get these boys going. So just look at that. Just look at that. All right. So off of basketball, on to football. So bring y'all back up to speed with what's going on with Ezekiel Elliott. So Zeke was suspended. The suspension was taken away. The suspension was reinstated, and the suspension was taken away again. So Zeke has played in every game thus far this season, and he will be playing today against the Washington Redskins. And let me just read you this article on Sports Daily. It's by Kate Harriopoulos. Okay. Ezekiel Elliott is cleared to play in Sunday's game at Washington. A court hearing could at last decide whether the Cowboys running backs plays the rest of the season will take place in New York City the following day. A U.S. district judge scheduled a preliminary injunction hearing for October 30th at 4 p.m. Dallas time. She ignored the NFL's request to have it moved up this week ahead of the game against the Redskins. Elliott and the NFL Players Association had opposed the league's efforts to expedite a decision from Judge Catherine Polk Faia of the Southern District of New York. Last week, Paul Crotty, Faia's colleague, granted Elliott a temporary restraining order that's allowing him to play until Faia makes the more lasting decision. Faia had been out of town. She's been out of town for like 2 weeks, and she's just getting back. That's why the hearing, this new process has been pushed back. Elliott continues to fight his sixth game suspension by the NFL. He has played all six of the Cowboys games so far and is coming off his best performance of the season with a career high 219 yards from scrimmage. I think he had 3 touchdowns against San Francisco. The league announcing on August 11th that its year-long investigation found Elliott used physical force against a former girlfriend on 3 occasions, which Elliott denies. Monday's hearing will focus on whether Elliott should be granted an injunction that will continue to block the suspension while the case winds through the court system. Now, it's funny that the NFL found that he used physical force, but the court systems didn't find that he used physical force. That's funny. Like, I think NFL used some kind of private investigator or something like that. But that's interesting. That's funny and interesting how the NFL found that Zeke used physical force and not the actual judicial system. Now, I don't know what Zeke, I mean, you know, like I've already told, I ain't going to spend too much time on it. I've already told you, Zeke, leave them white girls alone. OJ ain't learned his lesson, so I doubt you're going to learn your lesson. But for one, a couple of things with you, Zeke. Here's the thing with you, Zeke. You have often put yourself in pretty peculiar situations. But let me just talk to you like this man to man when it comes to these women, when it comes to dealing with women, first of all. Of course you like beautiful women. We all like beautiful women. You got to find a woman who going to help you get better as a person versus a woman who just looks good and can make you feel good versus a woman who could just make you feel better. You have to get a woman who going to uplift and empower you and help make you a better man, who going to compliment you and not steer you into the dumb stuff but steer you away from it. And if you do find yourself in these situations again, man, just run away. Just like full speed, full, run away. Do what you got to do to get yourself out of these situations, man. Do what you got to do to not put yourself in these situations. Do what you got to do to help keep you on track with what you need to do to be a great football player and a great person, a great citizen, a great human being. Those are things that you need to be doing in your life. And you might need to look at who you're surrounding yourself with, the people who you're inviting into your life, and eliminate some people from your life. Do a better job of screening who comes into your life. So you won't find yourself in situations like this. Because you got the Cowboy faithful nervous about these seasons, man. Got the Cowboy faithful nervous about these games because we don't know if you're going to play, if you're not going to play. So you're playing against the Redskins. I mean, Yeah, against the Washington Redskins. And one thing about the Washington Redskins, y'all change all kinds of damn names. The Red, like, for the owner, I think Daniel Snyder, the owner, and I'm switching topics. I don't care. I'm talking about the Redskins now. Daniel Snyder, the owner of the Redskins, for him to fight so hard to keep the name Redskins, as it's not a derogatory term. I went to James S. Ricketts High School. From 98 to 2000, we were the Ricketts Redskins. From 2000 until now on, we are the Ricketts Raiders. I changed our mascot's name because it was a derogatory term. And the Leon County School Board here in Tallahassee, Florida, did not have the money to keep the name like the do. So the only reason that that name Redskins, that term Redskins, is still used as that team name is because Snyder has the money and the clout and the lawyers and stuff to fight that, and the NFL don't really care. Because once again, the owners are the bosses of the commissioner of the league. So the commissioner essentially does what the owners tell him to do, even though his job is to kind of keep everybody in line. But that name Redskins is a racist and derogatory term. So what the Redskins, what Washington did is they went and found some sellout Native Americans who were, that name is not offensive to me. And so you get 10 sellout Native Americans to say that it's not offensive to them. Well, hey, see, they said it's not offensive, as if they represent the whole population. Now, getting back to that broad stroke of, well, such and such speak for the whole population. Right? Like, I'm on Twitter the other day, some damn fool tweeting out that there's a difference between when you're saying the word nigger, there's a difference between the ER and the A, trying to say it's acceptable for people to call you a nigger if they use the A, if they say nigger. I tell y'all, I'm telling you like this, and if I don't care, you, hey, don't call me no nigger. Don't call me no nigger or no nigger. I will bust you in your face. That is a disrespectful term, and that term was used to subjugate us niggers. Niggas are creations of white supremacy. Niggas were created to help perpetuate and to help move, and niggas were created to support white supremacy. I know I'm writing way off from Ezekiel Elliott, but I'm getting to this point. Look, if you call, ever call, I don't care who you are. Black people, we say nigga because we've been socially engineered to be niggas and to say these words. That's why we said, so white people, Asians, everybody else, what's y'all excuse? If your excuse to saying that word is because you want to be cool, I'll kick you in your goddamn face. What's cool about disrespecting somebody? We were socially engineered to think of ourselves as niggas, to operate as niggas, to walk and talk and think as niggas and live as niggas. So that's why we use that term. Now, we're working to socially re-engineer ourselves. So that's why we're going to stop using the term against each other. But I tell you, people from other races, you call me a nigga, I'm going to beat your ass. That's point blank, period. There's no such and such way. Don't say that term around me, or I will hit you in your face. But Z. Elliott, you got to do better, man. You got to do better. Your master is fighting hard for you in this case. It's funny. It's funny how the NFL owners, Jerry Jones is fighting harder for a player for a domestic violence case than he are for the lives of the players and black people as a whole. Because Jerry Jones only care about his property, and Jerry Jones don't give a damn about black people. The NFL owners don't care about black people. They care about their property, which are the players. The only thing they care about, the players, the owners, GMs, all the people on their payroll that make that team go and generate those dollars, that's the only thing they care about, is getting back on their, getting a return on their investment. Their property. They're the owners. And, I'm getting back to the owners talking about their property a little later in my weekly rant. Robert McNair, oh, you getting it, Robert McNair. You getting it. All right, further NFL news. So apparently there's been a meeting between NFL owners, executives, and players talking about how they can better deal with social issues. Also, there have been meetings, and I'll get back to this in my weekly rant. Also, there have been meetings with the owners of how they can get their players under control and try. They want to mandate them to stand for the national anthem. But there's been a meeting between players, owners, executives, and such and such about how the league can better work with the players on dealing with social issues. So let me read this to you. When the owners and players left New York City on Tuesday, they vowed to meet again to continue to, quote-unquote, make progress on how the two sides can work together on social issues. A date has now been identified for the meeting. A source directly involved with the planning of the meeting says it's scheduled for October 31st, and at this point, former 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick is not expected to be there. There will be no rule change forcing players to stand for the national anthem, as we learned last week. But NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell left the NFL league meeting optimistic at making progress toward no players wanting to protest. The fact is that we have about half a dozen players that are protesting, Goodell said last week. We hope to continue to work to try to put that to a zero. That's what we like to do. But we want to make sure we're understanding what the players are talking about, and that's complex. Players were encouraged last week that team owners were listening to them. Giants co-owner Paul Maurer and Atlanta Falcons owner Arthur Blank said the changes are going to take place after listening to the players in turn. Whoever wrote this kind of messed up this sentence, whatever. One source told the NFL.com, Judy Batista, it was the best communication between players and owners they could remember. What would come from this dialogue? The question is asked. A source with knowledge of what was discussed during the meeting said two specific examples of issues important to players were brought to the attention of the owners. One of the points of discussion was a commitment from owners to let players meet with lawmakers, chiefs of police, administrators, and others who make a direct impact on their local communities. As Eagles defensive back Michael Jenkins said, it's one thing to make a difference in this country overall, but the tangible difference can be made in their own communities. Players have participated in ride-alongs with police, but some want to take the next step to create community programs with local police. That's one idea. Let me just speak to this real quick before I read along. What do you mean the players want the owners to let them meet with lawmakers? But see, that's one of my issues with a lot of these professional athletes, especially these NFL players. You don't have to ask nobody, can you meet with lawmakers? You don't have to ask nobody, you have to ask the owner, can you meet with lawmakers? Are you serious? Like why? Where? Like where? Why? Like what questions need to be asked for you to meet with your local lawmakers and politicians and administrators? Why are you asking? But now another component to this, I know Michael Bennett was outspoken about not meeting again with the NFL until they re-employ Colin Kaepernick, or at least give him a chance at employment. Because Colin Kaepernick does deserve a chance at employment. So that's one of the things that they were talking about. And I was listening to ESPN Radio, and I think the further news is that they've invited Cap to the meeting. So the next meeting that they're supposed to have on the 31st, as of now, for the latest I've heard, that they're supposed to invite Kaepernick to the meeting. Now, inviting Kaepernick to the meeting to talk about social issues, to me, is a further slap in the face, because you are blackballing this man for bringing the attention to the social issues. Basically, y'all are saying, hey, you all have to talk about social issues and protest the way we allow you to. That's what they're saying, because right now, still, the majority of the NFL players are the house niggas of the sporting world. They still are. The NFL players act as if they have no power over themselves whatsoever. Master, can I use the bathroom? And that's That's crazy. It's crazy. I want NFL players to do different. And like I keep saying, especially the ones who can take the hits. Especially the ones who can stand if you can stand the game check, losing the game check, if you can take that hit, take a stand. Like, damn, take a stand, take a real stand. Somebody sit out some games or something. You gotta do more than that. Like, we keep trying to have dialogue, and I don't think the players have not come together and organized. And until the players organize like supposed to, they're never gonna get what they want. They're always gonna come up short. And Kaepernick is the sacrificial lamb. Kaepernick showing up at this meeting is them saying, "Hey, see what happened to him. It's gonna happen to the rest of y'all." So at some point, NFL players are going to have to do something different. But that meeting will be on 31st. So you know I'm going to keep y'all up on what's happening on this meeting. And I know Michael Bennett and some other players were upset and they were very outspoken about these meetings and saying how they want Cap and they want other things. They want changes. They want Kaepernick to have a job. The NFL is really showing their ass right now. But also, the NFL is taking hits. They're losing money because they're feeling it for people not watching the game. I'm not sure that whether it's from black people. I doubt it. I doubt the NFL is taking a bigger hit from black people. White people are not watching the game because of the NFL protest. So NFL players, keep protesting with a little bit that you're doing. You're not really protesting the black issues now. You're protesting more so Trump now. But still, whatever you're doing. But the NFL is taking a hit. And the NFL is worried about it, worried about their money. But black people, we can still start our own league. It's never too late to start our own league. A lot of this stuff should make the players want to start their own league. Should make the players want to start their own league. Should make the players want to do something different. Should make the players look at these owners and be like, "Man, you know what? Y'all crazy as hell. Y'all crazy as hell. We're not y'all slaves. We're not y'all property. We're men. We're human beings. We're grown men." But that ain't happening. $40 million slaves. So, like I say, we'll see what's going on with this meeting. So far, the NFL is saying that things are going good on their and their eyes. So we'll see. All right. Further in NFL news, football news, but NFL news. If you remember New York Giants running back David Megan. He played for the Giants in the 90s, Bowl, all that stuff. So let me read this to you. This is from NFL.com. Former NFL player David Megan was sentenced to 30 years in prison Wednesday after his conviction in the South Carolina court on charges of criminal sexual assault, criminal sexual conduct, and burglary. So Megan was convicted in a case involving an encounter with a college student at her house in North Carolina and North Charleston in January 2009, according to authorities. Megan, who attended high school in North Charleston, was a running back and a punt returner for the National Football League between 89 and 98. Megan played 6 years with the New York Giants and 3 with the New England Patriots and 1 with the Jets. He had nearly 1,700 rushing yards and just over 3,000 receiving yards. Megan, at the age of 42, did not take a stand in his own defense in the trial, and his lawyer said he will appeal. His conviction and sentencing were reported Wednesday in several South Carolina media outlets. Beatty Butler of Charleston County Public Defender's Office argued that Megan and the woman had consensual sex and later had an argument. In 1998, Megan was arrested in Toronto, Canada, after authorities said he allegedly assaulted an escort worker after a three-way sexual encounter. A trial on sexual assault charges ended with a hung jury in 2000. Megan later worked as a Parks and Recreation Director in Robertville, North Carolina, but resigned 4 years ago after he was accused of sexually assaulting his former girlfriend. He was convicted of misdemeanor sexual battery in 2007, receiving receiving 2 years probation in the North Carolina case. Authorities said he was allowed to move back to South Carolina to serve his probation. Damn, David, Megan, you need help. You need counseling. You need some serious help. Man to man, you need some help. If all these allegations are true, if these allegations are true about you, you need some help. And your ass whooped. There's too many damn allegations and things like this. See, this is why we have to take a critical look at how we as Americans unconsciously support the culture of rape. That's why we have to start looking at these things, how we as Americans unconsciously, whether you're male or female, how we unconsciously support the culture of rape. He had too many chances to assault women. Other men be having too many chances to assault women, to assault other people, period. Too many chances at assault. These things need to be curbed. You can't be no longer giving people slaps on the wrist because you may have liked them. They were athletes, they were popular and all these things. Can't be giving people slaps on the wrist and all these things. Now, I'm not saying, oh, he got slaps on the wrist. He might have did. But what I am saying is we have to do something in America different to curb this culture of rape that we have. This culture of sexual assault that we have. It has to be curbed. We have to find a way to stop it, to dead it. David Maggot, if everything that you did is true, you're a fucking disgusting human being. You need your ass whooped, David Maggot. I grew up watching you. I grew up playing with you on Tecmo Bowl and all these other things. And David Maggot, you need your ass whooped if all this is true. You need counseling. You need rehabilitation. You need therapy, all these things here. And you need your ass whooped. Your behavior is fucking unacceptable. It's totally unacceptable. You need your ass whooped. You really do. I don't know what to say, what else to say other than that. It's never okay for anyone to try to take advantage of anyone else in any sort of situation in any kind of way. And especially not in no sexual manner. And all of you who think it's okay, you can catch these hands. But you need counseling, you need rehabilitation, you need help. And I'm sad to have to talk about this story about David Maggot. David Maggot, I hope you get some help. If all of this is true, I hope you get some help. But you already know, if you actually do go to prison, they got to put you in confinement. They got to protect you because them boys are going to get you. Which further perpetuates the culture of rape in America. But see, that's the part I don't get. That's the part of the culture of rape and the rape that happens in prison. That's the part of the culture of rape that we like to turn a blind eye to. That's not okay either. David Maggot, you deserve to be punished to the full extent of the law, but I don't think you deserve to be sexually assaulted, even though we know you probably will. Sexual assault on any level, in any institution, in any place is not okay. We have to curb this culture rape that we got here in America. So that's my last thing on anything about the NFL. Well, for right now, before I get to my rant. So I wanna transition now to college. Well, I'm gonna get to baseball. Let's talk about baseball. Like I told you last week, the World Series has started between the Houston Astros and the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the series now is tied 2-2. Game two of this series was the one. That was the classic game of the series. An 11-inning thriller that ended with the Astros coming out on top. It was a thriller. Game the Dodgers won 3-1 over the Astros. They took that 1-0 lead. Game two, like I said, in an 11-inning thriller, the Astros beat the Dodgers 7-6. Game 3, the Dodgers lost to the Astros 5-3, so the Astros went up 2-1. So now the Dodgers last night, the Dodgers came back and tied the series 6-2. So, but let's go back and see if we can look closer at this game too, because it was a long game, but just the bats on the ball and just the drama that went into it made for great baseball. See, games like that make people want to watch baseball. World Series like that make people want to watch baseball. So, give you kind of any by any breakdown, or just give you a little gloss over. So, Houston's in game two, Houston scored first in the third inning. Then the Dodgers came back and tied the game 1-1 with the run in the fifth inning. Then the Dodgers went up 3-1 with two runs scored in the sixth. Then the Astros tied in the eighth, 2-2, took the lead in the ninth. The Astros added two more runs in the 10th along with the Dodgers. Then the Astros added two more runs in the 11th. So, So for the Dodgers, as far as batting for this game, Seager and Culberson and Davinsky all had Peterson, Seager, Hernandez, and Culberson, Puig. They were playing the RBIs. There's a lot of good hitting. I would say, what was this? It was a total of 38 at-bats. The Astros had 43. The Dodgers had five hits. They had 5 hits, 6 RBIs. The Astros had 14 hits and 7 RBIs. So that kind of helps. The Astros had 8 strikeouts. The Dodgers had 11. But if you only get 5 total hits, you're going to lose. So, I mean, that's the World Series. I mean, game five is coming up. I think game five is either today or tomorrow. I can't remember right now. But let me look to see when game five is. But game five is today. All right, so game five is today. So make sure you tune in to game five today to see who will go up in the series between the Dodgers and the Astros, the 2-2 series. You know, we ain't really into baseball like that, so it is what it is. Just try to keep you updated on the World Series. So, the college football recap. So the Thursday game was a tight game between Stanford and Oregon State, Pac-12 matchups. Stanford came 15-14 with the victory. Stanford is number 20 in the country, and their record improves to 6-2, while Oregon State falls to 1-7 on the year. That was Thursday game. They had two Friday games. Florida State got their ass whooped on Friday. Florida State got their ass whooped by Boston College on Friday. And I just want to rant about that real quick. As a Floridian, and as a Tallahassee, the Florida State Seminoles have quit. And they have quit season. They got ran through by Boston College. Lose to Boston College. Boston College is always a tough team because they play defense, but Florida State got ran through. They quit. They've officially quit on the season. There's no way you could tell me the talent of the team that they are just all of a sudden not a good team no more. That's bullshit. That's bullshit if you're going to sit there and tell me that the Florida State Seminoles aren't a good team anymore. They are playing with no heart, no desire to win. That Florida State-Florida game is going to be hot garbage. That's going to be the GetTheHellOn.com bowl. Florida State-Florida game. Because the Florida Gators got ran through by the Georgia Bulldogs yesterday. Both teams are playing with no heart, but specifically the Florida State Seminoles. Y'all are playing like some hoes right now. Y'all are too talented to be out there getting ran off the field by teams like Boston College. Y'all, like, teams are expecting to beat y'all. Are you serious, Florida State? Y'all tripping, man. I ain't giving y'all no more energy, man. Fuck y'all. So y'all decide to play like some men, y'all get the hell off. Y'all need to play with some pride. I ain't even no fan, but just as a Tallahassee and as a Floridian, y'all need to play with some goddamn pride, man. Another game on Friday, Memphis beat Tulane 56-26. And Memphis is number 4 in the country, and they improved their record to 7-4. State beat Penn State yesterday in the thriller. I was watching it. JT Barrett brought the boys back. The Ohio State defense stepped up the game, and they beat the number 2 ranked Penn State. State Nittany Lions 39-38, which means the top 2 teams in the country represent the SEC, Alabama Crimson Tide and the Georgia Bulldogs. Because like I said, the Georgia Bulldogs ran through Florida Gators 42-7 to improve to 8-0 and 5-0 in the SEC, and definitely undefeated in the SEC East. So Penn State is 7-1. Ohio State is 7-1, so that made things interesting for the Big Ten. But I think it also hurts the Big Ten moving forward because we don't really know who the team from the Big Ten gonna be. Clemson most likely is gonna be the team from the ACC. Then you could have Georgia and Alabama in there. Notre Dame could possibly get in there. So. I mean, you know, we're going to see, but not to get too ahead. So, and the reason why I'm saying this too, now, TCU, the only team in the Big 12 to play defense. They did play defense yesterday, but they didn't have enough offense, and they lost to number 25, Iowa State, 14-7. Iowa State has beaten a couple teams this year that they shouldn't have beat, and they are now 6-2 on the season, so they got the victory against TCU, 14-7. One time for Iowa State. I know my dog, Alan Bell, he happy as hell right now. Y'all check out his YouTube channel, AB the Hero. Check out Alan Bell's AB the Hero YouTube channel where he gives his commentary on sports and reactions and stuff like that. He's an Iowa State alumni and alumni of James S. Ricketts High School. So, you know what I'm saying? One time for AB the Hero. Wisconsin continuing their winning ways with a victory over Illinois 24-10. So Wisconsin is the number 5 team in the country. They're 8-0. They are going to move up. But the problem with Wisconsin is they schedule hot garbage. So that's their problem. So that's why the Big Ten may not have a team representing them in the Final Four. The ranking is coming out on Tuesdays on ESPN, I think, like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. So make sure you tune in to see the college football rankings. Like I said, Clemson beat Georgia Tech 24-10 to remain at the top of the ACC. Well, not necessarily at the top of the ACC. One of the teams at the top of the ACC because Miami is undefeated. So Clemson is 7-1 on the season. And they're 5-1 in the ACC, while Miami barely got another win, squeaked out another win, this time against North Carolina. 1-18 in North Carolina. They won 24-19. Their defense stepped up in the end. Miami improves to 7-0. Now, Miami, y'all got to play better ball. You just do, man. You just got to play better ball because, you know, VTech coming. Clemson coming, championship game stuff coming, so you got to play better ball. North Carolina State lost to Notre Dame 35-14, and Notre Dame is playing damn good football. Notre Dame's only loss was a close loss against Georgia. Georgia came to their house and beat them, so Notre Dame, the spotlight is on them. If they win out, they can control their destiny, so they have to win out, hopefully. Texas Tech lost to Oklahoma 49-27. Of course, you know they don't play defense in the Big 12. Oklahoma State beat West Virginia 50-39. Washington beat UCLA 44-23. Washington improves to 7-1 on the year, and Washington's defense is pretty okay for Pac-12 football. VTech continued their winning ways, improved to 7-1 and 3-1 in the ACC as they beat Duke 24-3. Washington State lost to Arizona 58-37. Michigan State lost to Northwestern. Come on, Michigan State. Y'all, Michigan State is number 16 in the nation. They lost to Northwestern 31-39. Why are you losing to Northwestern? Houston beat South Florida. This is a shocker to me. I did not expect South Florida to lose to Houston, but Major Applewhite got the boys out in Houston playing. They're 5-3 on the season and handed South Florida that first loss. So, South Florida, you are out of the picture of maybe being one of the teams who could poke their head into that national championship picture. But the University of Central Florida, the Knights, beat Austin Peay 73-33. They improved to 7-0 on the season, and apparently Central Florida is just wiping their opponents. Central Florida dropping their nuts on their opponents. So they're winning big. In the games that they win big. So look out for Central Florida. And the last score we're going to give y'all, USC, in the late game last night, I was watching this game, late game last night, USC pulled out a 48-17 victory over Arizona State. So that's college football. Like I said, Tuesday, look out for the rankings that's coming up. But I'm pissed at Florida State. I'm pissed at Florida for the lack of effort they're showing. It's not like these teams are garbage. The teams are just not playing with effort. Alabama looks good. I say if I had to talk about my top four teams would be Alabama, Georgia, Notre Dame, Clemson. I would put Clemson and Notre Dame over Miami and Wisconsin right now. You still got to look at Oklahoma. Got to look at Virginia Tech, too. So, you know, we'll see how things go. UCF trying to peek their head in. So, we'll see how things go with those teams. So, I mean, you know, that's our little college football recap. All right. So, now it's on to our weekly rant. And some of it going to go to Houston Texans owner Robert McNair. Some of it going to go to Stephen A. Smith. And a lot of it going to go to the players. So let me read you this article by Tim Daniels of thebleacherreport.com. Speaking at a meeting between owners, team executives, and Commissioner Roger Goodell, Houston Texans owner Bob McNair reportedly said, "We can't have the inmates running the prison in response to NFL players taking a knee during the United States anthem." On Friday, Seth Wickersham and Don Von Natta Jr. of ESPN.com detailed the protest-focused meeting this month, which featured both private meetings and a separate large session that also included players. They noted McNair's statement and the owner's exchange of concerns stunned some in the room. McNair apologized for the statement on Twitter on Friday. So this is McNair's statement. "I regret that I used that expression. I never meant to offend anyone, and I was not referring to our players. You lying son of a bitch. You lying son of a bitch. You know damn well you were referring to the players in the league. You are the prison, and they are the prisoners, and you cannot allow them to run free. That's what you're saying. Stop lying. Be a man. Stand by your statement, you pussy hoe." "The speech that was never intended to be taken literally. You lying again, you fuckboy. I would never characterize our players or our league that way, and I do apologize to anyone who was offended by it. Shut up, bitch. You was speaking your mind." Reading more. According to Sarah Barshop of ESPN, Texans players wanted to walk out of practice, and some did walk out of practice, after the comments and had to be persuaded to stay. The Texans star wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, walked out and didn't return back to practice due to McNair's comments. They had an offensive lineman, Dwayne Brown, that they were asking questions to. He said he was disappointed, but nevertheless. McNair made the statement after Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones delivered an impassioned an impassioned speech about finding a solution or creating a mandate to solve the polarizing issue, which he believes is having a clear business impact on the NFL. Texas owner's remark was one of multiple awkward moments during the midday process. Ricochet man Van Natta also spotlighted an exchange between Buffalo Bills owner Terry Peguilla and retired wide receiver Anquan Boldin, who briefly signed with Buffalo in August before deciding to step away from the game to focus on activism. At one point, and this is Bill Wickersham. So, at one point, Buffalo Bills co-owner Terry Peguilla, moved by Anquan Boldin's story about his cousin being shot and killed by a police officer, complimented him on how impressive he was, but kept calling him Anquan. Then Peguilla suggested that Boldin would be the perfect NFL spokesman on social issues, not only because he had walked away from the game to pursue causes, but because the owner said it couldn't be a white owner, but needed to be someone who was black. The meetings were aimed toward finding common ground between owners and players, amid pressure from U.S. President Donald Trump, who suggested last month the owners should fire players who don't stand on the anthem before games. McNair donated $1 million to Trump inaugural committee. Right, so you know McNair and Trump homeboys. But, all right. So, McNair, you said what you said. We know how you feel. We know how the owners feel. We already know how the owners feel because of Cap not having a job. The owners don't give a damn about the social issues that's happening to these players. Owners only care about NFL players playing the NFL, playing football, making them money. That's the only thing that the NFL players care about, is players making money. Now, the players walked out of the practice. You did have some players who walked out of the practice. DeAndre Hopkins, namely, being the most celebrated one to walk out. Now, other players came back. Hopkins hasn't came back. He didn't come back. Now, it's questionable whether he would play in today's game at 4 p.m. We shall see if he will play in the game at 4 p.m. But Stephen A. Smith, though, saw fast. Stephen A. Smellout, Stephen A. Coon, Stephen A. Sambo, Stephen A. Yes, Master, Stephen A. I do what my master telling me to do. Went on a rant yesterday on ESPN yesterday, basically telling DeAndre Hopkins to be a man and take it and suck it up and take it and go play. That's because Stephen A. Smith is a bitch. Stephen A. Smith is a slave. Stephen A. slave mine. After ESPN took him out behind the woodshed, same thing they did to Jemele Hill, took them out behind the woodshed, you know, they come back different. And Stephen A. Smith has no balls. His balls were cut off. His balls were completely cut off. And Stephen A. Smith has no nuts. He stands up for nothing. He stands for nothing. The only thing he stands for is what his white owners, his white masters tell him to stand for. Just the only thing Stephen A. Smith stands for. So he basically went off on DeAndre Hopkins trying to tell him that he's not a man and he needs to do what he needs to do to play football. You should know over the owner saying to play football. See, Stephen A. Smith is a coon. So don't listen to Stephen A. Smith. He's a coon. Stephen A. Smith's balls have been taken away from him, and he will do anything the white people tell him to do, especially if money is involved, right? That's just where Stephen is right now. He's a sellout, a coon. He's not a man. He's not a man. He thinks he's a man, but he's not a man. So that's the thing about Stephen A. Smith. Steve, you need to shut the hell up. You really do. Really need to sit down and be quiet, because you're not helping things get better in this community. Football will not improve the conditions of the black community. Black players can stand up for what's going on because they were black before they played football. They're black while they're playing football. They can be black after they play football. You keep forgetting that you're black. Athletes are not our activists, but if they want to stand up for social issues, they can. And we as a community, it's our duty to support them as they stand up. But it's our community, it's our job as a community to give them a cause to support as well. So they can support in the best way that they are, that they can. It's our job to be activists, as I said this before. I'm not mad at McNair for speaking his mind. I'm not mad at a white supremacist for being white, a white supremacist. But I am mad at people like Stephen A. Smith. I am mad at the Houston Texans players who will take that and still play. And will try to use the excuses, I'm not going to let him take me away from something that I love. Well, you're not punishing him any either. Now, we will see, because when Donald Sterling made similar remarks, they made him sell his team. I doubt that that happens in the NFL, because the NFL owners have more control than these basketball owners, or it seems. So the Texans players, y'all saw DeAndre Hopkins, I hope you don't play. Don't play. Do not play. Do not play, DeAndre. Do not play. Forget Steven. Forget all the rest of the people. Do not play. Don't play. You don't owe them anything. DeAndre, you can stand a game check. You can stand a game check. Sit this one out. Sit this one out. You all right? You can stand a game check. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about what Stephen A. Smith. At some point, you athletes have to take a stand for something. All right, so lives. The loss of lives is not enough for you to take a stand. We get that. Donald Trump was almost enough for y'all to take a real stand. You see, they even talking about, when I stated earlier, they're not really, they're worried about the protests, but protests are not that scary to them, because they say, hell, only a handful of people, only a handful of players are protesting. It ain't all of them, it's only a handful of them. So we know these Negroes not necessarily on it like that, right? So I don't know what else we could say to these players. I don't even think we should say anything else to these players. But I know I will still use this platform, and I will still use this show to call for us to start our own league. I will use this platform and use this show to give sports in the blackest way I can give it. Talk about sports in the blackest way I can get it. But what we will not do is support no house nigga stuff. That's not going to be supported on this show. No house nigga mentalities, no house nigga actions, movements, clothes, rap songs, whatever. It's not going down on this show. We're not supporting that house nigga stuff. I'm not sure what it's going to take for NFL players to do something different. I'm not sure if they will ever do something different. What I know, I do know, black people in America do not watch the NFL because of what the owners are doing, but because the players, the ones who can take the hit, the ones who can afford the financial hit, those players are refusing to take real stands. The players who are taking the stands, I salute you all. We support you all, and we salute you all. We support you. But the ones who are continuing not to, like I was watching a commercial about Von Miller, the DN for the Houston Texans. And I'm just sitting there thinking, he ain't going to give up that Old Spice money for nothing. They got him bathing on commercials, that Old Spice money. He ain't giving that Old Spice money up for nobody. So I don't expect Von Miller to do nothing. But for the players who are standing up, shouts out to you. To the other players, y'all still some hoes, man. Y'all are still some hoes. But look here, Robert McNair, use a bitch, use a hoe, and you are an example, a true example of what racism is in this country. You support racism to the fullest. You do. You do. And I know y'all want to try to act like y'all don't, but y'all do. Y'all try to act like y'all don't because you employ black players, like slaves didn't, quote unquote, employed, like slave owners then quote unquote employed. The difference is now you have to pay people now. You have to pay them. You can't get that free labor. But even indentured servants and people still worked for people back in slave times and things like that. So let's not act like because you employed them that you like black people. Man, please. Y'all making more money off those players than these players will ever make off themselves in their lives. Believe that. But black people, we have to stop putting ourselves in a position to be pimped. They're pimping the hell out of us. So y'all need to do something different. Y'all definitely need to do something different. We need to start our own league. Let's get this league jumping. Let's stop playing around and get this league jumping. If all the black players decide to do their own thing, the cameras and the money will follow. If all the black players decide to organize and do what they need to do, it's not going to be easy and it's not going to be a quick process, but it's something nevertheless that is possible. Let's make that a reality. Let's stop acting like we need white people need us. The NFL and college football need black players. They need you all. They need us. Parents, they need your players. We have the power. We don't need the NFL. If you are teaching your children and you as a parent are looking at the NFL as your salvation from your economic deprivation, then you have failed yourself and your family. You're continuing to fail yourself and your family. You're tripping. Sports is not the only way out. We have brains. We as African people are the most creative and resilient and just innovative people on this planet. Most of these things that's happening, we created. Stuff stolen from us, especially in America. America would never have no industrial revolution or the economic boom it had if it wasn't for black people. They got that off the backs of blacks. Man, look at him. So let's stop acting like we need them. We don't need them. So that's my rant. Black people, step up. Stop being slaves. Stop having a slave mind. Stop acting like we need the NFL. Stop acting like we need people. We can do this on our own. We have to believe it because we are very powerful people. They told us we were nothing and we started to believe it. They beat us down. Now we're believing the bullshit that they have inflicted upon us, that they have put into our brains and our psyches and our minds. Overcome that. We can rise above all of this. Anything that we want, we can make it happen. We can defeat white supremacy. We can overcome white supremacy. We can throw off the shackles of white supremacy. We don't have to act like we need white supremacy as athletes. And you may say it don't affect sports, but it affects every aspect of our lives. Don't let people lie to you. They act like sports is the escape. Sports is not the escape. These white folk don't like you. Sports is just another means of these white people to use whatever resources they have to milk us and to pimp us. Remember that. Now, that's my rant. But I got breaking news. So let me try to confirm this. I just received something about breaking news that Florida's head coach Jim McElwain has just been fired. And so this is a tweets and stuff by the Bleacher from the Bleacher Report. So I'm looking up. I'm on my Twitter now, trying to confirm it. I'm on Twitter now to try to confirm this, but I got a notification that said that Jim McElwain has been fired as the head coach of Florida. All right, so his top trending tweet, head football coach at the University of Florida. Florida administrators are discussing whether they can fire Jim. Let me see if I can get the latest. Somebody says, 55 minutes ago, somebody said Florida AD has fired coach Jim McElwain. This says, SEC Country.com says it happened. Florida fans, Jim McElwain is out as Florida's coach. So let me click on this article real quick from SECCountry.com. I also have something pulled up from the Bleacher Report. Let me let this thing load up. So this is, and this article is posted 20 minutes ago, says Florida Gators parting ways with football coach Jim McElwain. After a tumultuous week capped by a 42-7 loss to number 3 Georgia, third-year Florida coach Jim McElwain parted ways with the program Sunday with 4 weeks left in the 2017 regular season. Florida Scoop was the first to report the news. According to the Gainesville Sun's Robbie Andrew, the players have been informed of the decision. Following the loss on Sunday, McElwain seemed resigned to the fact that his future at Florida was over. The 55-year-old coach from Montana spoke in a relatively monotone voice while essentially reflecting on his tenure with the Gators. "Nothing in this world surprises me," McElwain said. I know what I was brought here to do." McElwain was hired in December 14th to fix the Gators' maligned offense after 4 years of struggle under Will Muschamp and bring Florida back to national relevance. His first 2 years showed promise, with the Gators reaching the SEC championship game in both seasons, a feat that had never been accomplished. However, the offensive problems that had plagued the team before his arrival continued. Florida finished the 2015-2016 seasons respectively ranked 112th and 116th nationally in yardage. The Gators are 113th nationally this season in total offensive yards, averaging 336 yards a game. In 34 games, the Gators have scored 30 or more points just 8 times and only managed to escape the mark in 3 of those games, thanks to their defense and special teams scoring points. "Look, we haven't been good on offense," McElwain said. "I get it. After a 2017 season that contained more off-field distractions than on-field success, athletic directors Scott Strickland decided enough was enough. The final straw seemingly came Monday after McElwain made unprompted comments about death threats targeted toward people in his program, with little detail or effort to back them up. The on-the-field results weren't much better. Florida's record fell to 3-4 in the season after the beatdown by Georgia. However, the Gators easily could have been 1-6 if not for a last-second touchdown heave from Felipe French to Tyree Cleveland against Tennessee and the Kentucky missed field goal as time expires. But the beginnings of the rift between McElwain and his administration seemingly began before the season started. After Florida's win in the Outback Bowl on January 2nd, just 2 months after Strickland began as Gators AD in place of Jeremy Foley, McElwain was asked about the bowl win. What the bowl win meant for the Florida program. He started by talking about the Gators' success on the recruiting trail and brought up the importance of facilities. And then he dropped this line: "We'll look for the commitment that we get from the administration moving forward. See where that's at." So I guess McElwain caused some rift between him and the administration with a couple comments and things that he made. So now Jim McElwain is out as the head coach of the Florida Gators. Yeah, Florida's not good this year. The offense has been horrendous under Jim McElwain. Now, Florida has reached the SEC championship game the last 2 seasons, but their offense has been horrendous. It's unacceptable, the quarterback play that has been going on with the Gators. It's unacceptable. Florida's defense is so good. All they need is a little better. They need average quarterback play, and Florida could be a top 10 team with average quarterback play. So they've been having below average offensive production across the board. The running back's not that good. Wide receivers are good, but yeah. So breaking news: Jim McElwain is out as the head coach of the Florida Gators, and so for the last 4 games, we're gonna see what's happening. Like I said, the Florida State game, been a Floridian, been a North Floridian. looking forward to the game, but damn. Oh, and brighter news, Florida A&M won, so y'all might not care, but they beat Morgan State University 34-31. Shout out to FAMU before we close this show. Why, you know how it goes down. Hey, man, I appreciate y'all for tuning in every week to The Fix, the blackest and the realest sports podcast, sports show you've ever heard in your life. You know, we keep it real. We talk about how we got to talk about it, and we keep you updated on what's going on in the world of sports. So I wish Jim McElwain luck in the future, and I hope the Florida Gators get somebody who's going to put emphasis on offense. But until then, y'all know how we do, man. We keep it gully, we keep it live, we keep it real, and we gonna thrive. And if you don't like how I go down on this show, then all y'all have to do, I'm just lying, I try to make a poem, I try to make a rhyme, I fucked it up, it don't matter, it's the same. I'm Joseph Ward. Catch y'all next time. Holla.
I am the greatest.
I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back.
Rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from the Air Force. There's no one that can